Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
William McHenry University Athletics.
Every sport you find exciting.
Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
And now.
This is Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
We're covering everything William Carey University Athletics. From the field to the court and the diamond. On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com. Now, here's your host, Ben Milam.
Yes, indeed. Another Monday, another Crusader Talk. So glad to have you with us. Talking all things William Carey Athletics. We have plenty to talk about tonight. We will break down the last couple of weeks in softball, look ahead to the final regular season week this week in Hattiesburg as the Crusaders finish it out on both the softball and baseball diamond. A whole lot of other stuff to talk about as we wrap up the spring track and field. Big week last week and plenty else to talk about outside of that. This is going to be a full episode, a full show. Great to have you with us on supertalkhattiesburg.com, on the internet, Supertalk 97.3 live from the Hattiesburg studio. And if you miss any of the show or missed anything from last week or the week before, you can pick us up in podcast form wherever you get your favorite podcasts. My name is indeed Ben Milam, here with my partner Caleb Hamill, Will Tony, our producer engineer. Caleb, as I said, as always, I say that pretty much every week, a lot to talk about, but I think especially as we near the end, specifically softball and baseball, both softball and baseball are in the running for regular season title, and postseason picture obviously starting to shape up, and in terms of the postseason track and field, that has shaped up in a successful way as we look ahead to the national meets and all other sorts of good stuff.
It is a wonderful time to be in tune to William Carey Athletics because not only is it full, but it's also exciting. You don't have to just narrow down your focus to one sport that's doing well. It's across the board.
Yeah. And that's what we talked about that with Dr. Ben Burnett, president at William Carey, and we talked about the success across the board. And it feels like just about every sport. And that has been true for a long time for softball and baseball, and it is continually true for our other programs. We're going to zero in on softball here in our first segment. As always, great to talk to Craig Fletcher, head coach of our softball Crusaders. Coach, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Well, Coach, just before we get into the nitty-gritty of this, you have been at William Carey now over a decade. It feels a little bit different when you get to this point in the season. It's a whole lot of fun, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, it has come down to, everybody, we got three teams and one game apart, and it is. It's exciting. It has flown by, and the end is here, and so. But there's still a lot of things to be decided in this last week.
Indeed, there are. And, again, before we get into the details of these last couple of weeks, when we talked to you before the season, you know, we talked about the strengths, the weaknesses, the question marks. When you look back at that conversation or how you felt about this team before opening day compared to right now, what have you learned about this group maybe that you didn't expect in 2023?
Defense and pitching has been pretty solid. Hitting is I just wish we were a little bit more consistent. I know the girls can hit. We scored a lot of runs at times. So we just hadn't been here lately, been able to have two back-to-back games where the bats really, really show up and all. We've had some tight games that pitching and defense has kept us in, but, hitting just hadn't showed up when we needed it to in certain games. But very proud of the young ladies. It's been a great year. We've worked through some adversities with some injuries and different things, and I guess that'd be another thing to talk about is just, them not just laying down. We, Haley got hurt, and now I've got a catcher this out, and we've had some folks quit and different things. Because of injuries or personal things and all, but we've had to just push forward and very proud of them for pushing through.
Coach Fletcher, it seems like I look back at that homecoming series where I got to talk to you after Stillman, And one thing that you pointed out to me then, and we've kind of mentioned it throughout this year, is that the pitching staff for your team, when healthy, can always keep you in a ball game. And it seems like anytime your team is just a touch under par and gets a loss, it's only usually by one run. It's always right. A competitive game.
It is, and those are tough ones to lose. And it's some things we talk about. We need to be more on the winning side of some of those and all. And that it just comes down to getting that big hit, taking an extra base on a pass ball or an overthrow or something, and putting ourselves in position to win those games. But we've had a lot of tough ones, and we've been on the winning side, and then we've been on the downside a few times. But pitching has certainly gave us opportunities to win.
Well, Coach, these conference standings have been razor close, if you want to say it that way, it feels like the entire conference schedule. And you mentioned how close it is right now with just two conference games to go for you guys. Speak to the improvement of this conference, because we've talked about that, but I think we've seen that maybe play out a little more than we thought it would. As crowded as it is in this top three, and then you look at that middle, Stillman and Faulkner, and I think you can put Bruton Parker in there, have been really, really competitive, whereas in years past it was a little more top-heavy. That makes for a tough, kind of grueling conference schedule.
It does, but, it's what you want. I mean, it keeps you working, keeps you from becoming complacent, so to speak. Sometime, we preach week in and week out now. Every weekend series is huge, and there's not a gimme anywhere this year. Everybody has played well. Teams that in the past have struggled a little bit now are very competitive and beating the top teams. Us, Mobile, and Middle Georgia have gotten some losses in some situations that maybe in the past we wouldn't have, but I really tip my hat to all the other schools and the coaches. They have stepped up, and we've got a very, very competitive conference this year.
Yeah, speaking of big teams falling, it wouldn't be bad if Middle Georgia State lost to Faulkner this week, right?
Well, it wouldn't be, but you just never know. And that's what I always preach. We've got to take care of our own business, and then maybe along the way somebody will help us out. But let's not take care of our business and then have to hope that somebody else helps us out. That's my biggest, thing that I just preach all the time. Let's go and take care of ourselves. And, with that being said, again, the league has gotten a lot tougher this year. I personally like that. I want it to be competitive every time we go out. I think it makes you better. You play in, if it's a quick four and a half, five inning game, I think sometimes you don't learn how to be competitive and learn how to play in the tough situation, because at the end of the year, you're going to have to play those tough games against the tougher teams.
We're going to talk this week ahead in a second, Coach. Southeastern Baptist tomorrow night, a doubleheader, kind of a tune-up, late add to the schedule. And then on Wednesday, moved up a day to finish the regular season against Mobile at Joseph and Nancy Fail Field. But I want to rewind just a tad bit. You had your senior day a little early, a little over a week ago, against Blue Mountain Christian, and two big wins there, one in extra innings in that second game. And I want to give you just a moment. Hopefully we'll be able to talk to you throughout the postseason, but just want to give you a moment to brag on these seniors. We talked about this core group that you've built the success on and that you've had to really lean on, maybe more so than you would have liked, as shorthanded as you are on this roster. How big have those seniors been?
They've really done a good job. Haley, just day in and day out, certainly comes to play. It was tough those 3 weeks without her. We had some other pitchers to step up and play a big role during that time. Hannah Dufault, our other senior, has done a great job at short and, coming in at times and coming up with some big plays and some timely hits and just playing a role that we needed her to play. So those two seniors have really done a good job, and it's really, when Haley's down, she's still the biggest cheerleader on the field. She's always in the game and rooting for her teammates and stuff. So a lot of energy. We really appreciate our seniors.
Coach, I'm just so curious. It's going to kill me if I don't ask. How's the game where you are right now? Who's playing and what's the score?
I guess you can hear the background. I am watching my 8-year-old daughter as the granddaughter as the first inning. My son is coaching, and she is in the softball last year, and he was a baseball player, and then now my granddaughter comes to all of our games. So I am out in Sunrise at the little Sunrise Community Center watching little kids play ball and having a good time, being able to relax and not have to worry about making any decisions.
A little less stressful. Coach, before we let you go, in about 15 seconds here, if you could, what do you need out of your group to finish the regular season strong this week?
To me, really what I said earlier, hitting has got to be more consistent. We've got to be able to score some runs. We'll play really well one game, and then the second game we just and I'm not going to take anything away from any other pitching stuff,
sure,
but we
sure.
just got to make better adjustments and you know, get some runs, because we've got a pitching staff that if we can get, in my opinion, 3 to 4 runs, we are set up pretty well to win and all. So we've got to be consistent on defense. You know, it's that time of the year that you know, you're starting to get a little bit tired, probably. It's an exciting time, so hopefully you can push through the tiredness.
Sure.
But we just got to bring the energy every day this week, and then prepare next week, because next week everybody's, you know, on the same page. Nobody has a loss next
week. Coach, we're coming up on a break. We appreciate your time. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye.
Talking everything William Carey University Athletics. This is Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Big thank you to Craig Fletcher for joining us, head coach of our softball Crusaders. And a big thank you to you for tuning in on this Monday night, whether you're in the car or out in the yard doing a little yard work, or in the family radio room huddled around listening to Crusader Talk, as people do these days.
This is not 1920.
But you know,
I'm ready for the sultry sounds of FDR to tell me the war is just about over.
Somewhere in this computer is the Orson Welles War of the Worlds.
Now let's not freak everybody out.
I'm just saying, we could have some fun.
Oh, maybe we'll do a fireside chats show.
Hey, there you go, history buffs.
Yeah, you know, I know a few things. This is Crusader Talk. We're talking all things William Carey Athletics, and we are available on the web as well, supertalkhattiesburg.com. And my name is Ben Mai. Let me go with my partner, Caleb Hamill, our producer engineer, Will Tony, pressing all the right buttons back there. And Caleb, we are going to talk to Ryan McKenzie here in a second to talk about some continued success for our track and field Crusaders. But let's go back to softball here for a second. 10 losses, 36-10 in the win-loss column for the Crusaders on the softball side of things. 6 of those 10 losses have come by one run. If my count is correct, and I've been taught not to do public math, so please do not hold me to that. But any way you shake it, a lot of those losses, the majority of them at least, have been real close, and it's been a matter of, you know, a few spots not quite getting that one base hit. But we have seen the potential of this offense, as Coach Fletcher talked about. I mean, you have these games where the offense does explode and you find that. And it feels like towards the end of the season, those ladies in the order are starting to find that spark a little bit. And as, you know, is the truth that rings true in every postseason for baseball and softball, it's about getting hot at the right time, and the Crusaders feel like they're trending that direction a little bit.
Yeah, and Coach Fletcher really said it well. It's just trying to get that timely hit,
you know,
getting that hit when people are on base, or getting that extra base when you get on the base paths, so that that next base hit will score a run. If I had to count how many times I saw over the past few weekends Carey get runners in scoring position, or yet even the bases loaded, especially bases loaded, and were unable to produce, let's just say it happened too much. A couple times against Stillman and Blue Mountain, for that matter, I remember times where they had the bases loaded with no outs and came away empty-handed. And that's just a matter of getting that timely deep fly out, or getting that slap hit over the infield to get the key runs. And, I mean, you look at what Faulkner was able to do against William Carey. And by the way, I misspoke. Middle Georgia has Bruton Parker this weekend, or this week, not Faulkner. So that's the spot where William Carey would like to see Britton Parker maybe take one for Middle Georgia to even it up, to where if either Mobile or William Carey sweep this weekend, then they would be co-champions with Middle Georgia. But besides the point there, we'll talk a little bit of tiebreakers as well. But yeah, it's just been for William Carey about the timely hit. And if they can finally get on their streak of getting those hits, we've already mentioned the pitching is there. The pitching is going to keep them in the ball games. The last time that William Carey suffered a loss of more than one run, let's see when that happened. You would have to go back to Middle Georgia State in Cochran, Georgia, a loss 0-4.
Yeah, about a month ago.
Yeah, yeah, a month ago against arguably one of the top teams in the conference.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned the pitching there. Haley Nations returns in her last four starts. She's gone a complete game, full seven innings, and combined in those starts has given up a total of four runs. That's a huge deal. Ooh. Haley Nations right there, close to that 100%. She said she's 100% the whole time, mind you, but you know, Coach Fletcher, a little bit different perspective, but she is obviously back to her form, and she totally changes things for this pitching staff and the team as a whole. Before we talk to Coach McKenzie here, run us through these tiebreakers really quickly.
Yeah, so the biggest thing that you need to know about the top of the SSAC is Middle Georgia State is at the top. They're in control. They win, they've secured the number one seed in the conference tournament and the overall. Now, that said, let's play the scenario that Middle Georgia State drops a game against Britton Parker and wins the other one. That allows either Mobile or William Carey, if they sweep this week, to be in a tie with Middle Georgia. Now it becomes a question of, okay, you're co-champions. You're officially crowned co-champions. Nobody's going to take that away from you. The problem in breaking the ties is figuring out what seed you get in the conference tournament. Why is that key? Because the 8 seed, Talladega, doesn't exist in the conference tournament this year, because they forfeited all their games, did not field a team. So you get an artificial bye in the first round. So Middle Georgia State and William Carey, let's say the Crusaders win, they have the same record against one another. They would have the same conference record. Both teams have the same record against Mobile. So then it comes down to the next best ranked team in your standings, and it becomes a question of whether or not it's going to be Stillman or Faulkner that's going to be the next one. And I'm going to have to go back and look through our messages real quick, Ben, because we're trying to figure this out. And believe it was, if Stillman is ranked higher, then let's see. Yeah, if Stillman is ranked higher than Faulkner, then Middle Georgia State gets the one seed. If Faulkner is ranked higher, then Carey gets the one seed, because Middle Georgia State went undefeated against Stillman, whereas Carey had the better record against Faulkner than Middle Georgia State did. They went 2-2. Carey went 3-1.
Well, we will dig into that in a little further detail as necessary. But to one thing that bears mentioning is that no tiebreaker was needed in the Women's Track and Field SSAC Outdoor Championship. We have Ryan McKenzie on the horn. And, Coach, I think you've been on the show more than anybody, and it's because there's so much success to talk about on the women's side, and a great week last week for your men as well.
Yes, sir. Thank you guys for having me.
Well, great to have you with us, Coach. Let's talk the women first. They are crowned the SSAC champions, and I would go through the individual results here, but that will take up the rest of our hour here on the air. Walk us through some of the highlights last week. What went well for your ladies?
Well, we went in knowing it was going to be a battle. Conference is getting to be really challenging. SSAC has done a great job of bringing in other universities, and it's really getting challenging. But some of the highlights I would like to note is we had Makeda Linton, which you've heard her name before.
Oh, yes.
She did really well in jumps. She broke the conference record with a 6.22-meter long jump. She also went on to win the triple jump. I would also like to highlight Salisi Miles, which we've heard her name before. She broke the conference record in the 100 hurdles, and she ran that in 13:31 seconds, which is pretty fast. Joy Abu, we've heard that name. She won conference in the 400 hurdles, and I could just keep going and going. We have a lot that I could highlight on those ladies, but those are some of the higher notes. And we have Maria Samakis. She She won this. She broke the conference record also in the 800 meter run. So we had a lot of athletes that broke conference records. So
yeah,
that's a good thing.
A title's not enough. We have to break some records along the way.
My question is, are there any conference records left that have not been broken? I mean, good gracious.
I mean, Ben, you still have some eligibility, right?
I've got 4 years of eligibility.
There you go. Coach McKenzie, hit him up.
Well, I think I would probably fall a little far back in the depth chart with the way these ladies are performing. Coach, let us in on the details of the men's side. Come up just a little bit short for a sixth straight title in the championships, but, man, ran really well. A whole lot of highlights there as well.
Well, I would like to really, really, really recognize the guys' team because we went in ranked number four.
Yeah.
We were still kind of rebuilding on the guys' side. We were ranked number four, but we have some young guys that really are gelling together well, and you can see them. They're just unifying with each other, and they decided that, hey, we're going to do something, and we're going to get out there, and we're going to do it well. So I would just like to say the entire guys' team came together from the distance to the jumps to the sprints. So we did a great job on the men. I'm so proud of them. I'm still telling them congrats on the second place as of today.
Well, man, we're proud of them, too, and I do want to ask you, as you look ahead to the national meet on the women's side, you finished third in that meet last year. What is it going to take to make some noise and make a run at a national championship?
Well, it's just going to take us staying healthy and doing what we do. Everybody putting themselves in their event and doing well at it and leaving it all out on the track.
Yeah,
that's the biggest thing, and I think if we can stay healthy and train out through these weeks, I think we can go out and have a great showing.
Final thing for you, Coach. It seems like LaDainian Rowell had a really good time at the championships this weekend as well.
He did. He's a personality. He had a great jump. LaDainian is from Opa-locka, Alabama. He came in. He's a sophomore this year. He's a spunky one, as I must say. He has great personality. He's a great jumper, and we love to see him perform.
Well, man, there it feels like there are just endless great athletes that come out of Opa-locka, Alabama. There are a whole lot of, coach, wherever they came from, glad they're wearing the black and red and performing like they are on the track and field side of things. Continued success to you as you guys just continue to stack the wins. Hope to talk to you real soon, Coach.
Yeah, give us a reason to call you back again.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you, guys. And thank you guys for having me all the time. Anytime.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it. That's Ryan McKenzie, head coach of our women's and men's track and field Crusaders. Again, the women SSAC champions in the outdoor side of things. They were indoor SSAC champions. So another championship, another jewel in the crown, if you will. They will compete in the national meet here in a couple of weeks. When we come back, whole lot to talk about. We will talk the baseball side of things, break down what is to come in this final week of the regular season and the postseason picture. This is Crusader Talk.
From the coaches to the student athletes and the fans that cheer them on, you're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Crusader Talk continues. Another big thank you to Craig Fletcher in our first segment for joining us and taking some time out of some intense softball action. It sounded like maybe a little different than what Coach Fletcher is used to. And again, want to thank him for joining us. Always great to talk to Coach Fletcher and Ryan McKenzie. I think I've lost count of how many times we've talked to McKenzie, lost count of how many championships track and field have won for William Carey. And again, they will roll right along into the national meet on the women's side of things and compete as a team looking for a national championship. Finished third in 2022. And didn't even win the SSAC on the outdoor side of things. And so, I, you know, reading between the lines just from the way that Coach McKenzie was talking, you know, he does not want to overpromise, obviously, as a head coach. But it sounds like he's excited about what he's bringing to the national meet, and he's got good reason to do so. My name is Ben Milam with my partner, Caleb Hamill. Will Tony, our producer, engineer. Caleb, I'll let you touch on that before we get into baseball. It's just endless success for these track and field programs.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, he deserves to be proud of these people, both his men's and women's side. I mean, you get the top scorer in the championship on the men's side, and you didn't even win. You got second place there.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, what a great showing, all things considered, especially with where they were in the standings before they entered this conference tournament.
Yep.
And where they finished. I mean, a lot of upside. And they're not the only ones with a lot of upside here as we near the end of the season and postseason.
Oh, sir, they are not. And we will obviously keep tabs on Coach McKenzie and his Crusaders as they continue to compete. Would love to have another national championship conversation with Coach McKenzie here in a couple of weeks. But we've got some baseball to talk about, Caleb. One more week, this being the final week of the regular season. And a couple of weeks ago, we talked to you ahead of the Mississippi College midweek affair, coming off of a tough loss, 2 out of 3 against Faulkner. That was the first time in 2023, those three games, that William Carey had lost 3 in a row and needed a big response coming into a big, big weekend, significant for a lot of different reasons. You were facing one of your rivals in the University of Mobile. That series has gone back and forth, back and forth. It was 5-5 in the last 10 games of the last 3 years against these two. And not to mention a regular season title on the line and looking to secure a host spot for the opening round of a regional in the national tournament, and to try to solidify your spot there at the top and work your way into the top, I should say, in a 3-game series against Mobile. And all of a sudden you look up, the Crusaders have won 6 straight, 2 massive series sweeps. I think primarily you can definitely say against Mobile, it's a top 10 club, and the newest ranking's still a top 10 club, and played some of your best baseball that you really have all season long in the exact right spot.
Yeah, I mean, this time last week we were at that game watching William Carey and Mobile face one another, and we saw terrific pitching performances from William Carey's Dario Herrera, and you know, all around, as the Crusaders were able to just gather together so many runs in those late innings, really put it out of perspective for Mobile to even think about coming back. But to get a sweep over that team, I mean, just to get a series win over Mobile was huge. Now you look back and you're saying, okay, a sweep of Mobile. Then you come out to Blue Mountain the next week, have to delay your series start to a couple games on Saturday and then a Sunday game before you get out of town. And you get the 7-inning win in game one. You run rule Blue Mountain in game two.
Yeah.
And then you win by 6 in game three and left no room for doubt in back-to-back weeks.
Yeah, pretty strong. And I do want to go back to this Mobile series really quickly. And again, last week's edition of Crusader Talk was pre-recorded because me and Caleb were both up at the press box working that Monday night game that was pushed to Monday night, originally scheduled for Saturday, that series finale. And the Crusaders had taken the doubleheader on Friday, a 9-2 win in game number one, but much closer than the score indicates in a 7-inning ball game, as is always the case in the first of a 3-game series in NAIA baseball. It was a 2-1 game through 4 innings, and so you're in the late innings, through 4.5 innings, I should say.
2-1 who on top?
2-1, William Carey was leading through 4.5 innings. And in the bottom of the 5th inning, the Crusaders explode for 7. They hang 7 on the scoreboard, and Mobile is able to scratch one across in the top of the 7th inning, but end up getting that 9-2 victory. In those late innings, a little more comfortable than I think you even expected, as quality as that Mobile lineup is. Andrew Shira again goes a complete game and really sets you up nicely for the rest of the weekend pitching wise, and especially because game two you saw that Mobile offense come to life a little bit. Even it was a 2-1 game through 4.5 innings in that first game, but then all of a sudden you had 9 runs scored in the first 3 frames in the second game and had to use some of your other arms. And I think at that point, we talked to Coach Holford after the game. We knew there was going to be weather on Saturday. We knew there was a possibility that that game was going to be pushed back. And so Coach Ebert's pitching coach, Coach Halford, and Coach Smith, they all kind of put their heads together and realized that, okay, we might as well just go with our best here. And it was an 8-8 ball game through eight innings. And in that top of the eighth inning is when Preston Ratliff came in, who has been your Game 3 starter and was nails, as the kids say, and so much so that Mobile, one of their coaches, or the coaching staff in general, made a plea to the umpires to check Preston Ratliff for the sticky stuff, as they say, and they checked him. No illicit substance was being used, and of course, that makes things a little more personal for Preston Ratliff. And well, he shut down a really good lineup and gave his team a chance. It was 8-8 going into the bottom of the ninth. Patrick Lee ends up coming through with a big base hit up the middle on a 95-mile-an-hour fastball with the bases loaded. The Crusaders get a big 9-8 victory. And before we move on to this third game, any thoughts to add there on those first two games?
I'm just struggling to understand you saying, as the kids say.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Look,
do they not say that? I don't know.
I have no idea. But where do you get off calling them the kids? I mean, I know I'm...
he's a grown man. He pays his bills, Will.
I try
I'm
to,
older than both of you.
That's not saying a whole lot. We're all young.
It makes me feel important and old and wise when I say that. To answer your question.
See, nobody at home realizes he's 25 and sitting here in this chair. My first ball game I ever called, Ben Milam was playing in the field for MRA.
That's right.
I still have that scorebook, by the way.
What I got? What was 1-for-3 with an infield hit or something like that?
Something
wasn't
like
very
that.
Impressive. Yeah. Struck out twice.
I think it was like the seventh by the order, probably.
Okay, so a doubleheader sweep on that Friday game, and then that sets you up. And then you are tied in the conference standing going into that Monday game, and you had pretty much all of your pitching available. And you were going to have to kind of piece it together again against a really good Mobile lineup, piece your best together. And, man, you come out and, again, play I thought was what was one of the more complete performances of the year, an 8-1 victory. And to me, the star of this game, Dario Herrera, who has been the midweek starter. But since Preston Ratliff threw those two innings on Friday in that second game, Preston Ratliff also came in to close this third game, by the way. But Dario Herrera, a complete 7-inning performance. That is the third time he's gone full 7 innings. Gives up one run against one of the premier offenses in NAIA baseball. Was absolutely outstanding.
And this is, to go back through the scenarios of watching him pitch, he left that sixth inning with, I believe it was 99 pitches.
Yeah.
It was in the 90s. And we thought, okay, well, his day is done. We're going to see either Lane Jarrow, or we're going to see Preston Ratliff, somebody. And all of a sudden, Dario comes back out after taking a trot back to the field house, came back into the dugout and said, I'm good. Come on.
Oh, he looked brand new in that seventh inning, let me tell you. And there was so it was a big spot, too. A runner got on a walk, made it all the way over to third base, two outs, and a 2-1 ball game at that point. It was an 8-1 victory, but a 2-1 ball game in at the top of that seventh inning, and with two outs and a runner over at third, a potential tying run 90 feet away. Dario Herrera got a huge strikeout of the leadoff man, Tucker Musgrove, on a 3-2 count. It just does not get any more clutch than that. So after that series sweep and a sweep of Blue Mountain Christian on the road this past weekend, this most recent weekend, William Carey ahead in the standings by a full 3 games. They will be guaranteed, are guaranteed, at least a share of the conference championship.
Exactly. And one win against Loyola this week would be an outright championship for William Carey. And what a testament to this team that they've gotten things together here toward the end, that we're not talking about the last game of the season, it deciding it all, which it still could. But at the same time, you're looking at a scenario where you just have to win one of the next three.
Yeah.
And you're the outright champion. I mean, to be 3 games ahead at this point in the season is just about unheard of in as competitive as a league as the SSAC is. And so, it again, just speaks to William Carey and how they've been able to really nail things down here in the final moments of the season. So that's the one thing that is a guarantee. The one thing that is not necessarily a guarantee, but is looking really good are William Carey's chances of hosting in baseball for the conference. They are going to host the conference tournament, but may come back a week later and be hosting the NAIA opening round.
Sounds like fun to me.
Hey,
when you're leading a conference of this quality, you are going to be in that conversation. And the Crusaders have firmly planted themselves in that conversation. And even though you only need to win one this weekend to win an outright regular season title, I know Coach Halford wants three wins this weekend against a really good ball club in Loyola out of New Orleans. They come in ranked number 17 in the country and in second place in the SSAC, tied with Mobile. And it'll be a big test, which you don't shy away from this time of year. In fact, you cherish those opportunities. Not to say this William Carey group is not battle-tested, because they certainly are. But any chance to beat a good ball club and create some further momentum ahead of that conference tournament, you're going to absolutely take it, especially at home. That is going to be a fun, fun weekend, Caleb.
For sure going to be. We just hope the rain will hold out for us. That's the biggest thing.
We weren't supposed to say that word. Precipitation. Precipitation. Okay, well, if we have any bad weather on Thursday,
it's all my fault, you guys.
It is Caleb's fault. It is Caleb's fault. All right, we're going to wrap it up on the other side of this break, fill in the gaps where necessary, and we're going to give you our Seder of the week. This is Crusader Talk. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Yes, you are, and we are glad you are. It is a Monday evening in Hattiesburg. A whole lot of things you could do with your Monday night, and we are happy you're spending part of it with us on Crusader Talk. We're talking all things William Carey Athletics, one of my favorite times of the year, as we mosey our way towards postseason baseball and softball here in Hattiesburg, and two potential championship ball clubs on both the baseball and softball side of things in the regular season, not even mentioning what the Crusaders could possibly accomplish in postseason tournament play. My name is Ben Milam with my partner Caleb Hamill. Will Tony, our producer, engineer. We are going to talk some other spring sports that bear mentioning, as always, and some things to wrap up postseason-wise for those sports. But to carry through the baseball thing, we're going to go right into our Crusader of the Week. I'm sorry, our Seder of the Week. We talked to you about Dario Herrera and the performance he had in that Monday game. Again, typically, he's kind of worked his way into that midweek starting role and has been fantastic there, but is called upon to finish this series, a potential sweep on the line, first place on the line, and a whole lot more in terms of the postseason picture, Caleb. And he was as good as you could have asked for.
I mean, in that final game of the Mobile series, seven innings, we talked about it earlier, 120 pitches in that outing, and strikes out seven, only walks three, gives up one run that was earned, but he's lowered his ERA down to just a shade above two. His ERA right now, let's see if this will clear out, 2.04, basically two runs for an ERA now in conference play, that is. Mm-hmm. So getting hot at the right time.
Yeah, that'll play just fine. And as we mentioned, in the final of those seven complete innings he went, it was in a little bit of trouble, had a runner over at third base with two outs, William Carey leading it 2-1 in the top of the seventh. And again, we were questioning whether Dario was going to even be able to finish that sixth inning. Comes out for a seventh and finished his outing in a big way. Here's how it sounded.
Payoff to Musgrove, swing and a miss, strike three. Dari, oh my goodness, what an outing from Herrera. 2-1 remains the lead for William Carey in the top 25 showdown for first place here in Hattiesburg. Stretch time at Milton Wheeler. Don't you go anywhere. We got a great one on our hands here in Hattiesburg. Back in a moment.
That was so fun. So fun.
It was a great one indeed. And tell you what, that PA announcer, man, whoever possesses
silky
those,
tones,
those
man.
Golden tones, boy,
That was fantastic.
The right playlist.
Just a fun evening all the way around to get a sweep of Mobile. And talk to Coach Holford after the game. For the records that I had, it was the first time William Carey had ever swept Mobile in program history. Coach Holford kind of faltered at that a little bit. He said, well, it's been a long time. I will say Coach Holford's records probably go back a little further than mine. But
he's got deep pockets of record books.
Yeah, suffice it to say, it had been a long time, and it speaks to the quality of this rivalry, the quality of Mobile, and the quality of this team in 2023 for William Carey to get that done.
We got
to
really clean out that filing cabinet, digitize some of those old record books.
Yes, we do. We do indeed. All right, a couple other things to mention here as we wrap up Crusader Talk. Our men's golf side finishes third in the SSAC Championship Tournament over in Greenville, Alabama, Cambrian Ridge course. And had a solid outing, came up just a little bit short, but I know Coach Mixon is proud of his guys. And there's a whole lot of talent on that roster. And if you did not listen to the show we did with Coach Jeff Mixon, I would implore you to go back and listen to that. That is yet another one of these programs to be really excited about for William Carey.
Oh, indeed. And I'll tell you, a Robert Trent Jones golf course is not an easy one to play on either.
To me, there is no such thing as an easy golf course.
That, fair to say.
Yeah.
For me, it's comic relief.
There you go. Yeah. Women's golf is also in the midst of the conference tournament right now. After round one, not a great start for William Carey. They're plus 18 is a team. Loyola in the lead right now at plus 5. Dalton State between them with plus 7. That is underway. We'll have the tennis SSAC championships, I believe, this week as well. Trying to get all that pulled up and remind myself when it is. I think it happens this Wednesday. You've got it in front of you.
It does, yeah. Thursday through Saturday, the men's and women's tennis sides will compete in their conference tournament. As mentioned, women's golf, they will finish that tournament on Wednesday. It's a three-day tournament, so we will come back and give you a full review of how that finished up for the Crusaders next week. Softball, as mentioned, hosts Southeastern Baptist tomorrow in a doubleheader in non-conference action. And Wednesday, a game moved up from Thursday against Mobile to finish the regular season. Baseball scheduled to play two on Thursday and one on Friday to finish their regular season. And archery also in competition at the Collegiate Outdoor Championship.
I think baseball is supposed to be one Thursday, two Friday.
Is that right?
I think so. I think it's a 6 p.m. game Thursday and then a doubleheader Friday at 1. Now, that could all change with rain.
You are correct. Yeah, you are correct. So,
word again. Don't say that word. You're going to get me in trouble.
Hey, and next week, by Monday, we should know who are the host sites for both baseball and softball.
We should, yeah. And we'll have a full breakdown of that, what is to come for both softball and baseball, and we will circle back around to all the Crusader action going on this week. As always, go to GoWCCrusaders.com for full information and up-to-date info and updates. That is Caleb Hamill, Will Tony, our producer, engineer. My name is Ben Milam. This has been Crusader Talk. Until next time, go Saders, and good night.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.